Trump. But the mayor of New York, who's under indictment himself, maybe he's seeking a pardon, I don't know, Mayor Adams, met with Trump and Homan. What are you demanding of him, Amy Gottlieb, Ravi Ragbir?
So we don't. The way I frame it, I don't care what he does or what he doesn't do. It is what the people have to do in the community of New York City. The city council stands up for the members of the residents. You know, even though de Blasio was a so-called people's, but he wasn't in the situation as Adams, the NYPD still worked actively with ICE, right? They worked actively for my deportation in 2018. So, but what happened is everyone stood up, everyone stepped out. So people need to start connecting to the local organizations, the AFSC, any of the immigrant rights plus other groups.
Seconds.
Okay. So that we it is not what Mayor Adams have to do, what we have to do, Amy.
We're going to have to leave it there. Ravi Ragbir is with us, as well as his wife, Amy Gottlieb, who is with AFSC, and Alina Das at NYU. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hello out there, this is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio, 90.7 on your FM dial unless your FM was made in America.
Hola, soy Ruth Parra y te invitamos que nos sintonices cada martes en Tonali de 2:30 a 4 de la tarde.
Soy Brenda Escobar y les traeremos entrevistas relevantes de nuestra comunidad.
Soy Victoria Hernández y junto a Edith Molina estaremos analizando nuestro próximo tema.
Nos puedes sintonizar en kboo.fm.
O pueden encontrarnos en Facebook buscando Radio Tonali.
Nuestro correo electrónico es kbootonali@yahoo.com.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Time is 8:02 a.m. Next up is PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
When we look and we see things are not what they should be, God's counting on me, God's counting on you. When we look and we see things are not what they should be, God's counting on me, God's counting on you. Hoping we'll all pull through, hoping we'll all pull through, hoping we'll all pull through, me and you.
It's time to turn things around, trickle up, not trickle down, God's counting on. God's counting on you. It's time to turn things around, trickle up, not trickle down. God's counting on me, God's counting on me. Hoping we'll all pull through, hoping we'll all pull through, hoping we'll all pull through, me and you.
And when drill, baby drill, leads to spill, baby spill, God's counting on me, God's counting on you. And
problems to be solved. Let's get everyone involved.
God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Yes, there's big problems to be solved. Let's get everyone involved. God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Open will all pull through. Open will all pull through. Open will all pull through. Me and you.
I don't give up, don't give in. Working together, we all can win. God's counting on me. God's counting on me.
Don't give up,
don't give in.
Working together, we all can win. God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Open will all pull through. Open will all pull through. Open will all.
We do now, you and me, will affect eternity. God's counting on me. God's counting on you.
What we do, you and me, will affect eternity. God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Open will all pull through. Open will all.
Kids.
When we sing with younger folks, we can never give up hope.
God's counting on me. God's counting on you.
When
we sing with younger folks, we can never give up hope. God's counting on me. God's counting on you.
Open will all pull through. Open will all. Open will all pull through. Open will all pull through. Open will all pull through. Me and you.
Good morning, Portland. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM if you're listening on the radio, and you're listening to KBOO.FM if you're streaming online. Either way, thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Meredith, and Moses Ross is here with me. We are PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Good morning, Moses.
Good morning. What a beautiful, cold, nippy day in Portland. My goodness.
It was about 25 degrees when I came in.
I am not used to this cold weather in Portland. I mean, I love Portland, but I love Portland in the summertime. Portland in February, January is just nippy. But having said all of that, I have the bane of my existence, I tell you, is that train track that goes along the water. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I was up and at 'em all early this morning, mm-hmm. ready to rock and roll. And then I get here and that train goes by and I'm just sitting there going, radio doesn't wait for trains.
No, it doesn't. That's why when it catches me on Powell, because I used to get stuck by the train too, mm-hmm. but I can go up to 22nd and Powell and make a left, and I come down Division the long way, so I go around it.
And it's funny too, you know, one of our guests today is the guest that I had last week, John Turan. He's like myself, a former city council candidate, ran for the Portland City Council last year. And I called him up and say, John, I'm waiting for a train. And he says, Moses, go back around. You can make a UE on the Hawthorne Bridge and you can come back around. So everybody, if you live here in Portland and you're listening, take notes. And just bigger point is, watch for those trains.
Yes.
Hey, and by the way, you are listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. This is talk radio, you know. So it's not about me and Sherry. It's about you listening in.
Yes.
And the phone number, if you have some thoughts and comments, things that you wanted, what's on your mind today, Portland, on this very cold, nippy day? It's the phone number to call in is 503-231-8187. Sherry, the oligarchy is happening.
It is.
It is actually happening. I mean, you know, for all of the denial, for all of the, I think people went into this last election thinking that the lesser of two evils was, you know, either Trump or Biden. No, there was just one evil. And that evil is now in office. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see this complete degradation of our democracy over the next 4 years. And it just saddens me. It saddens me to no end to see the fundamental loss of our democracy in these very hard times right now. You know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And
well, it's the second time, and we are running into a cacocracy, which is a form of government where the worst people are in power. The word comes from Greek words kakotos for worst and kraktos for rule.
That makes
cacocracy.
Sense. Cacocracy.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what folks' opinions, what your thoughts are about what's going on right now. But all I do know is that, you know, our new President Donald, the old but now new, what once was old is new again.
I can't believe he's back. That kills me. 58% of white people voted to bring that back.
They did.
But on the other side, more people voted against him than voted for him. Right?
Yeah.
And so I have a list of the things that he's done in the past 24 hours. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Bring it on.
Withdraw the United States from the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
Revoked 78 of Biden-era policies, and we'll get into that later. Pardoned, get this, and this is big news today because of some of the ramifications from what he did. He pardoned around 1,500 individuals convicted in the January 6th Capitol attacks.
You know,
violent ones and everything. Ones that hurt police officers, and there's a bunch of stuff around that. He signed executive orders to change Mount Denali back into Mount McKinley. I heard about that one.
Yeah, that was the for folks that aren't familiar with that, that's the largest peak in the North America is in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
For years, for decades, it was called Mount McKinley after President McKinley. Well, about 20 years ago, they changed the name to Denali, which was the indigenous name for the mountain.
Oh, that's right.
And now, in a fit of, you know,
America first, of
arrogance, he's decided to, with an executive order, change it. That's akin to the whole changing the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America.
The next thing. He has no ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He also is trying to. He also did an executive order against birthright citizenship, and he can't do that because it's in the Constitution. He shut down the CBP-1, the app that granted legal entry to nearly 1 million immigrants.
That's amazing. You know, obviously this is a topic that is hot right now, and people are already on the phones waiting to hear to talk about this. It sounds like we have a caller that is waiting for us right now. Please go ahead, sir. Who's on the phone with us? Jim? Hi. Hey, good morning. What's on your mind today, sir?
Good morning.
Yes, hi.
It's Jeff. And
oh, pardon me, Jeff. Pardon me.
I wanted to say how hilarious it is in some of these things that the orange Caligula has decided that he's going to do. But really, I wanted to bring us back to those trains and those tracks and reiterate how blessed we are in our community to have for those of us who do not operate a motor vehicle, but rather operate a two-wheeled vehicle by human muscle power. We are so blessed indeed to have no fewer than two railroad crossings for bicyclists and pedestrians in Southeast Portland. And so much has been done to make our lives a little easier, thanks in no small part to the retired, now retired Congress member, Earl Blumenauer, after whom was named one of those bridges at 7th Avenue crossing Sullivan's Gulch. We are lucky, and the trains themselves are incredibly important. They are important to commerce, and commerce is what keeps the whole thing going. I personally would like to see most of these humans, 8.5 billion, 8,000 million of them, I would like to see most of them simply drift away and bring our population worldwide back to a moderate, sustainable level. But commerce is what keeps it all going. The money going round, the money going round, the money going round. And these trains, if you look carefully in your mind's eye at the steel bridge in Portland, it is the absolute nexus of transportation by automobile, by tractor-trailer truck, by train, by bicycle, by pedestrian. Everything squeezes right there at that nexus of transportation. And all of it, every stitch of it, has to do with commerce. Now, I am not anti-commerce because commerce is what keeps it going. I am, however, something of an anti-capitalist because commerce uber alles means commerce over humanity. And commerce exists so that humanity might survive. And with 8,000 million copies on planet Earth, I wonder if indeed humanity will survive.
Well, I will say this. You know, I appreciate where you're coming from on that, you know, because I just wish they had planned it a little bit better as far as its format here in the city of Portland. I mean, you've got the situation over there with the Zenith terminals with the gas tanks over there, and when they originally set that up, what was it, 60 years ago plus, you know, they weren't thinking about the economic or the ecological impact that potentially it was going to have. I mean, if they had just moved those train tracks, gosh, 1 mile over, it would have made, instead of along the riverfront. But I get it. I mean, you know, back then and during the day, they were probably thinking, oh, well, we've got to be able to unload the trains and put them into barges, right? And John,
I was here a little bit late today, but I could add a little bit of color to this.
Hello?
Oh, yes, Jeff, we hear you. We hear you, Jeff.
I'd rather not get started on Zenith. I drew a cartoon concerning Zenith. It's available in the current issue of the North Peninsula Review. And I have grave difficulty with this kind of commerce. So I'll let that be said, and I'll go away. Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, Jeff, I sure appreciate your comments. Thank you, sir. And I've also got here, speaking to us, John Turan.
Is my mic okay?
Yes, you're. Okay. I can hear you.
Okay. Sweet. Well, I did want to, it's a shame, John Turan here, it's a shame that the caller left before we were able to get into the discussion, because I did want to add a little bit of color based on my experience helping the TriMet Yellow Line come to fruition back in around 2000. What I learned through that is, and it's really interesting parallel like what we have going on right now, is railroads are some of the most powerful entities in the country. They're actually more powerful than, like, say, a city or state government. We don't possess, meaning the people or the government, don't have the ability to do eminent domain against railroads. And a lot of that is the result of the legislation that the robber barons put in place in the late 1800s when the country was expanding, they were the ones writing all the rules. Like, literally, if they built a railroad track, they'd get like 5 miles worth of land close to it and everything like that. the parallel to today that is being drawn is I do believe that we are putting the rails for our new financial system. And a lot of the people that gave money to our president gave money with the intent on doing that. And that is one of the things that I'm not crazy about with our system of capitalism, is that once people get to the top, they can shape all the legislation, to their favor.
Sure. You know, it's the pros and the cons of capitalism, isn't it? You know, God bless the capitalist, God darn damn capitalism, mm-hmm. You know, or maybe that would be the other way around, you know. I do want to mention also, if you have some thoughts on what we're talking about, this is PDX Progressive Talk Radio. And so I want to encourage you to call in and let's hear what you, Portland, have to say about things. The phone number here to call in is 503-231-8187. I am blessed to have at the table with me today Sherry Meredith and John Turan. And Sherry and I have been doing PDX Progressive for many years now, both on the on cable access and here at KBOO. John is a long-term Portland resident who is a former Portland City Council candidate like myself. We just went through the gauntlet, if you will, of the ails and the positives of Portland. And the voters spoke, and neither of us were elected. But you know, but we still got opinions. By golly,
that and, you know, we get to hopefully everybody that got elected and the constituents that we had an opportunity to speak with will help shape the discussion and the policy that comes out of the new city council.
Amen.
I think very few people are happy with the state of Portland. So that does kind of give the new city council a mandate to do some drastic changes on I don't know how we're going to approach to all the issues that people find important.
Right. And, you know, and then looking at it from the larger picture, what Sherry was just talking about, I mean, what our new president has done on his second day in office, first day in office with all of his executive orders. I was reading an article this morning, about how many of these executive orders that he published, you know, that first day, looked like they were done by AI.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, with similar misspellings in many yep. of them, and you know, and the verbiage was out of context. It just obviously looked like it had been done robotically, and it just blows me away that they knew they've had 2 months. I mean, we went through this in 2016, for goodness sakes. 2017, we went through this. You know, where they went into it without a plan, or they went into yep. it without premeditation. And, you know, just kind of shooting from the hip. And you would think that this time around, you know, they had Project 2025. They kind of had a game plan, you know, but they're still showing their incompetence from day one.
Well, and if you read Project 2025, it's largely an ode to the culture battles.
Yes.
To denying wokeness, to one of the executive orders that he revoked from Biden's term was advancing racial equality and support for underserved communities through federal government, through the administration. The administration was essentially offering increased federal funding for underserved communities to build programs around DEI. And he's basically revoked that.
It's amazing to me how they're using DEI as kind of code word for equality.
For racism. It's the white supremacy advocacy that's doing that.
Yeah. It just is amazing to me the knee-jerk reaction to it.
Well, I do feel like there was some pushback in speaking to people, just, you know, maybe that was a reflection of who I was knocking on doors with in the West Hills.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. As crazy as it sounds, or I'm not. I don't have an opinion. I'm not providing an opinion one way or another. But there are a portion of white males that feel disenfranchised.
Crockett had something to say about that. Jasmine Crockett recently had something to say about that, and she was exactly right.
What'd she say?
She was saying that it's shocking that people on the other side of the aisle from her, white men, are talking about being oppressed. And then she goes on about the history of how slaves were brought over, stolen from Africa, and forced to work, along among a litany of other things. She is addressing that in Congress today.
Yeah. So does that?
But they aren't listening.
Does that? I guess is that like a justification for oppression or?
No, that is what oppression is.
Right. So we should be trying
how
to
dare
get,
you?
Well,
think
I get it.
Being oppressed because you're not where in the Constitution is the body of a white man judged or controlled? Where? Nowhere. Where in the Constitution or in any of our laws are any restrictions put on white men? Nowhere. However, women, people in underserved communities, and minorities and immigrants are all controlled. We are told what we can and cannot do. We are held to a standard that white men don't have to adhere to.
Okay, so I hear the differences, and but does that make it okay? I mean, is it like, do we fix discrimination by discriminating? Is that
are white men being discriminated against?
That's the opinion that I've heard.
Well, under what guides?
I'm not a white man, so I really don't
exactly.
know. But like.
We have one here. Under what guides do you believe white men are being oppressed?
We don't even need to have that. I mean, these executive orders manifested from someplace. It's not just something that
yes, it's trying to make people of all regions, statuses, feel comfortable and noticed in a largely white supremacist society.
Well, and I think it's also a rationale for them to be able to have counter the argument, the loss of power that they have.
And
they realize that equality is actually meaning that they're losing their ability to control society.
Yes.
And so what's happening here is that, they're using DEI as a crutch. They're using wokeness as a fulcrum to pull the power back to them. And
I feel like, the way that Biden went about picking his vice president, kneecapped her. To 50% of the country.
Yeah,
this is a woman that was district attorney of San Francisco, attorney general of California, a U.S. senator, but he decided to pick her because she was a black woman.
Oof.
And he came out.
That is the narrative.
No. He came out and said it.
He came out and said he was going to elect. He was going to appoint or encourage a woman. He never said anything about a black woman.
Okay,
He could have had Hillary Clinton.
Again,
that's divisive.
I guess that's that was different from what I heard because just at the beginning I heard he was going to select a black woman to be his vice president, and then I remember the vetting process because I used to actually I worked on Muriel Bowser's campaign and she was one of the people that was being considered
when
the public vetting of the vice presidential candidates came out, it wasn't anybody but black women. Women getting it, but just from a messaging perspective, there's all kinds of reasons why Kamala Harris was the best choice for that position. But and even the uniqueness of her story is something to go on. But again, I feel it kneecapped her. That kneecapped her plus,
See, and for me, he lifted up the female black community. That's how I saw it. I didn't see it as necessarily putting her in a bad position.
That's fair. Now, put yourself in, you know, other people, you know, like the white male, that majority position shoes. That's your shoes. My shoes, I understood what he was trying to do, but, you know, just, you know, for that majority white guy who's, you know, a W-2 person whose standard of living has gone down and everything like that based on... That was hard for him just to see that.
His standard of living has been going down since the Bush administration.
Standard of living has gone down since we depegged from gold.
But now you realize, though, folks, that what we're talking...
Not to mention Reagan.
Yeah, but what we're talking about here, though, is the conscious decision by the Republican Party to demonize minorities, to demonize DEI and wokeness and all of these terms, to try to keep the power structure the way it is. And, you know, here was Biden acknowledging the challenges that the black woman has in society by trying to lift her up. Now, yes, you're right. He did kind of kneecap her in the sense, because it was used as a cudgel by the white men out there that had been by white male politicians to try to get a response from their compatriots that have, for other reasons, have been not riding that economic high tide.
And it's Republicans spent a lot of time in the culture wars, and yes, that was just more fuel for that. So this isn't just a federal issue. This is coming here to Portland. Yeah. We've got $100 million shortfall, and so it doesn't sound like people have the stomach to cut, the homeless services. So, where are the cuts coming from? And, you know, it looks like all bureaus are going to be coming there. And,
well, it's not coming from the city council's staffing kit budget, is it?
Well, it certainly isn't. I want them to have the staff that they need to do the job. I'm not coming down on that. That conversation was framed by the last city council. The last city council did a lot of things. What do you call them? They set a lot of booby traps for the new city council to step into.
Yeah.
One of those things was like, you know, setting staffing levels. Another thing was like doing construction on the offices. So I don't have a problem, you know, just fundamentally, you know, looking at the job. You need a legislator, you need admin support, and you need somebody to do some research.
Right. Speaking of that, support services here, we have, you know, you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, and every Wednesday they have a talk radio show, and Sherry and I and our show is helping out, and while our regular host of Wednesday Talk Radio is on vacation. And so we need to hear a little bit from you, Portland. What are your thoughts on this? You know, we've got an oligarchy happening nationally in the city. We have a brand new city council that is taking on a $100 million deficit in their budget. And what's going to be cut? What do you think needs to be cut? What do we got to do here to support them or to remind them of what our priorities are as a city? 503-231-8187. Please call in and give us your opinion. Give us your thoughts on this and any other topic that is on your mind right now. My name is Moses Ross. I'm here with Sherry Meredith and with John Turan. And there's a lot going on. Oh, and we have a caller. There we go. I love this. Please, by all means, we have a caller. Hello, Mark. Did I catch that right, Mark?
Hello, Mark.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's on your mind, sir?
One sign at a demonstration, a DC demonstration, either on Saturday or Monday read, "Morons are governing America." This is a new interpretation of MAGA. I think reality is colliding with the arrogance and the irrationality of Trump. China has already announced in a retaliatory tariff that they're cutting 50 or 74% of their imports of soybeans. So I think Americans are going to have to develop a taste for soybeans. Former Canadian Premier Jean Chrétien recommended that Trump carry a candle when he's walking up the stairs of his hotel. This is one of the Canadian retaliatory tariffs that will happen probably on February 1st. Electricity to New York, Michigan, Wisconsin will be cut.
Amazing.
Canada supplies this energy, and we don't subsidize Canada. This is a Trump lie. We don't subsidize Canada to the tune of $100 billion or $200 billion. Chrétien also said that the United States will have to import the heavy crude oil from Venezuela. I think that deporting, you know, the ACLU and Americans for Tax Fairness are already suing Trump. Deporting immigrants will cause a food shortage. Who is going to harvest the lettuce and tomatoes? Do the conservatives even think about the negative possibilities? Maybe 50% of the harvesters are
really good point there. You wanted to make a point there.
Well, just I just I wish I could have had a little bit of dialogue with the caller.
I'm still here.
Okay, so how do you feel about oil trains then? It sounds like you're pro energy from Canada. But
well, we receive 4 million barrels of heavy oil a day from Canada.
Portland, or I'm talking about Portland here. So you're okay with the oil? You know, you're okay with the process of importing oil energy.
Trump is destroying. He's blowing up our economy because he refuses to admit a mistake, and he dislikes dialogue and criticism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He should be treated, you know, a pathological narcissist.
So I'll move past that. And then I have a question: is why are immigrants picking all of our food?
Well, it's because
there are many reasons for that. It's a very hard, physically strenuous work.
Well, it's always been hard, strenuous.
These issues.
I'll give you an easy answer. It's because they don't pay them enough.
Well,
they don't pay a minimum wage. They don't have to follow labor laws because they're illegal. So what I hear you saying?
No person is illegal.
Okay. Well. Okay, that's not what I said. The real simple reason why they choose immigrants is because they can pay them less. And picking food has always been hard since the beginning of human time. It's always been like that. So what I hear is a justification for paying somebody below minimum wage. Now we're starting to have a discussion about slavery. And I hear you saying it's okay because you don't want to spend 20 cents more on an avocado.
Well, I think it's not necessarily, I think we had to drop the caller because we have other callers coming up. But I think the bigger point is too, John, is that, you know, the attitude of our society towards those that do our, that go in and pick our vegetables, that harvest our food. You know, we're trying to, on one hand, the Republicans are demonizing them. On the other hand, they don't want it. They're complaining about having to pay 20 cents more for that avocado. And they're not really wanting to actually go pick those avocados themselves. And so it's just this dichotomy that is of convenience.
Yes, but also, you know, sort of the government oligarchy, you know, capitalism thing. You know, soybeans were mentioned. Americans don't eat soybeans. The government is subsidizing those farmers to move off of, you know, things that Americans do eat so that they can make money exporting them to their biggest market, which is China.
Okay, now that's another topic. You know, we've got another caller that's out there waiting online. I'm not sure what that other caller's name is, but if you could go ahead and patch them in, I'd appreciate it. Do we have another caller on the line, sir?
Hello. Hello, caller.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We did have another caller, but that's okay. If you do want to call in and have your thoughts on this, 503-231-8187 is the dial-in number for those of you that are listening to us here at PDX Progressive Talk Radio on a frigid Wednesday morning in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for being here.
On sort of a complicated good, and I'm not sure how to deal with it, note, as of January 1st, insulin is now $35 capped for everyone in Oregon as long as you have commercial insurance. Now, I'm happy for that on one hand, but I'm a little disgruntled because it's only applied to people with commercial insurance, not across the board.
Right.
Like, for instance, I have a cat. And he just...
Okay. Oh, we do have another...
Oh, we have a caller. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, hey, hi. You know, I know you guys are talking about a lot of local stuff and things like that, but for me, one of the most huge things that has happened, and it has nothing to do with Trump, but at least it's good news, you know. I mean, I don't expect all bad news to come out of Trump, you know. As he trundles along signing this and signing that, sometimes some good things happen, but this was not Trump. This was President Biden. He actually granted clemency to Leonard Peltier.
Oh, I mean, heard
we've been
that.
Waiting for decades, yes, and decades for this to happen. And I thought, hey, you guys got this show. Hey, just bring this up as something really good that happened, you know, in the past several days. I mean, I'm celebrating it. I never thought this would happen. Leonard Peltier is 80 years old, and they know that he did not kill these FBI agents. Even the FBI said they had a terrible case. And so this thing has dragged on and on and on, but Biden put an end to it. And I am not a Biden supporter by any means, you know, but at least it happened, and Leonard Peltier is going home to his family now.
Well, and I can safely say, sir, that wouldn't have happened by a President Trump. President Trump wouldn't have done that. A Republican president would not have given that. Has had multiple opportunities. A Republican president has had multiple opportunities to give clemency to Leonard Peltier, and they did not. It took Joe Biden, a Democrat, to do it. And
yeah,
I think we really need to keep that in mind, especially in 4 years from now when we're dealing with an economy that's, you know, when we're paying that extra 20 cents for those avocados, when we are, you know, when we have an economy that's gone to hell in a handbasket.
Don't get me started on avocados. I started freaking out when they were above 25 cents.
Yeah, me too. I'm one of these avocado activists.
Right?
Anyway, thank you very much for bringing it up on the show.
Oh, hey, thank you for reminding us of the importance importance of that clemency declaration that for Leonard Peltier. I mean, this is a man that has been serving time for 50, 40 years for a crime.
Since 1975.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share for the listeners that don't know who Leonard Peltier is a Native American activist and American and a member of the American Indian Movement. He's been imprisoned since 1977 on two life sentences for the death of two FBI agents in 1975 at a shootout at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. Peltier and his supporters maintain that he was wrongfully convicted, and his case has become a symbol for issues of indigenous rights, political imprisonment, and justice system reform.
Very good.
Sounds like we also have another caller here. I'm not sure of their name, but...
Oh, hi, Tuasi. Hi, Tuasi.
Tuasi.
Hi, good morning.
Follow him on Twitter.
Welcome. What's on your mind today?
First off, I am really grateful that there's ever a political prisoner set free. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Portland's economy because, you know, we spend all this money on downtown Clean and Safe / the Portland Chamber. And it's kind of disgraceful because what we're doing there is plain graft, and it's not indicative of a polite society or of a civilized progressive community. So just right off the bat, whatever money we're giving to the chamber / downtown Clean and Safe, that money needs to go somewhere else. The other thing about Portland's economy that's really easy and obvious is stop sweeping homeless camps. Over half of all arrests in Portland are of people who don't have a home. And those are facilitated and encouraged and increased by companies taking contracts from the city. Companies like Rapid Response BioQueen, where they take millions of dollars from the city, they take those millions of dollars and use them to do the most inhumane things to the most vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are obvious and easy things that we could do. The problem isn't where the money will come from. The problem is people are hateful and cruel. Mm-hmm. If people weren't hateful and cruel, then it would be really easy to find the solutions. So anyway,
I appreciate that.
In a more civilized society, you don't have graft like what you have at the chamber. You know what I mean?
Sure,
because
sure.
Because we're hateful and cruel, we allow that graft to happen. Teachers suffer, infrastructure suffers, public safety suffers, because we give graft to these oligarchs within our own city.
And I kind of wonder, you know, it's interesting. I wonder if that was not their original intention with the Clean and Safe. You know, the original intention of the Clean and Safe was that the businesses in downtown Portland contributed to a fund, and that fund then in turn paid for services to help pick up the trash and to keep that downtown, to make it more attractive for commerce. And so I saw the logic of it originally, but what it has turned into, I will agree with you, it has turned into a kind of a system of graft.
Well, you know, I'm on your side, definitely on the first point, but from a different perspective, in that this was a no-bid contract. This was just renewed, you know, sort of in the 11th hour. This is like anti-free market stuff. So, you know, you're talking to me right now. But this was like, you know, an 11th hour, no competitive bidding. This isn't rocket science what that contract is providing. It's like it's graffiti cleanup, ambassadors, and I think there's a third thing to it. And so, you know, from my perspective, I want to know what if you know, all the procurement rules are being followed. Are minority contractors getting an opportunity to at least bid on the subcontract if they're not even being allowed to bid on the primary contract itself? I really hope that the new city council can find the votes to at least have the city attorney look at how that contract can be avoided, and so that we can have a competitive bidding process and let, you know, kind of the free market reign supreme.
Here's the real problem with any free market argument, and it comes back to really obvious things that people are cruel and inhumane. So if you look at Ted Wheeler, the former mayor, the only reason that he is in government is because he was able to take personal funds to finance his campaign. Mm-hmm. And so under a free market, great, he got those funds justly and fairly, but let's be honest, those monies came from seizure of lands by his great-grandparents through massacre and forced marches. So in this time of year, actually, the Trail of Tears in Oregon was implemented by Ted Wheeler's ancestors to steal timber wealth of which financed his campaign. So let's not lie to ourselves about what the free market is.
I'm not done yet.
Please don't do me the dishonor of interrupting. I took the time to call your show. So the free market is built on the premise that we have access to assets, but those assets are given directly to the people who are taking part in ongoing genocide. That's the only reason we have oligarchs in the first place. I spent months on the ground in North Dakota trying to stop the oligarchs from ruining the water of the great Missouri Basin. But you know what happened? The free market dictated that paramilitary forces should come in and displace me from ancestral lands of the Lakota people. Every asset that is in your pocket comes at the blood and tears of my ancestors, of people like Leonard Peltier. And there's current ongoing political persecution and land theft. That's the only reason you have anything. So,
well, inherited
privilege. Check your privilege.
Inheritance isn't a free market principle, though.
No, but the funds that got to it are. Mm. The funds that got him there are. And Tuasi is very right.
His inheritance is what elected him, right? And so there's...
The use of the privilege of the funds that he was given from previous generations who were impactful in settling Oregon and taking it away from the Native Americans who were originally here.
I get that, but I'm just trying to understand how that is a free market principle. That is anti-free market.
How the money got there
Inheritance is not a free... The whole premise of the argument was based on, you know, Ted Wheeler was able to do all this because he had money and got elected. My question is like, what part of the free market economy is inheritance? Free market is very simple. You get what you get what you earn. You're not getting, you know, I mean, that, you know.
So opportunity means nothing in the free market.
What does that mean?
It means that I was not given the same opportunities as Trump.
You weren't given a ton of inheritance.
That's not exactly.
That's not free market.
How is that not free market?
By giving somebody a bunch of money that, like, they didn't earn or produce, mm-hmm. How is that not free market?
Yes.
That's...
Well, free market is a business-centric discussion.
Well, it talks about, like the market decides...
Who's the market? This kills me. I have an MBA. I went through business school and I have an MBA,
right.
and it was centralized in IT, project management, and finance. And what I could never understand is who is the market, right? Because the idea is the market will only grow as much as the market can bear. Right? Well, who is the market? Because a lot of people, we're finding out right now that a $500,000 piece of naked land is not something most of the market is one willing to buy or can.
Right.
There's only the top 101% who can. Okay. Who's the market?
Well, I mean, like,
and
I mean,
what
well,
at what I level mean, will I guess, it
well,
bear?
I think you're talking about elasticity. I mean, you know, I mean,
yes, yes,
so,
very
so,
much so.
I mean, that is a thing. I
who is the market? Nobody has been able to tell
who's
me that.
It's just draw a demand curve, a supply and demand curve, and then where the lines intersect, that's right. The market. Everything below is it out of the market. They
so
can't afford it. Everything above
of this,
it is not part
a
of
a great version of this is cat litter recently, right? So cat litter used to be, and I have cats. So cat litter used to be for a 25-pound cat or for a 25-pound box of litter, it used to be $11.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And you'd buy a 25-pound box, depending on the number of cats, you'd have to buy it once every couple of weeks, right? It is now over $20.
Mm-hmm.
For the brand that I buy, which is Fresh Step, it's over $20, right? People stop buying it. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? And this is classic business. This is, you should watch the market on at this micro level. They put out a smaller box because they used to have like a 10, 14, and 25. They put out a smaller 10.5-ounce box or 10.5-pound box for $10.99. You have to buy it more often. It's more expensive in the end. That's why being poor is more expensive than being rich. You have to buy more of it. You have to buy it because it comes in a smaller box. But you, at this moment, you can afford that. That is where they're finding what the market will bear and elasticity, right? So now a lot of the companies, Safeway for one, has brought it down to $17. It's still not selling.
Interesting.
That's where the market lies in a consumer-based society.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking higher cost items, it's a little harder to manage supply and demand because of how much materials, raw materials cost to manufacture the products. And that's where Trump's tariffs are going to start eating into people's pockets, especially those who voted for him.
And it would be a form of poetic economic justice, wouldn't it? Now,
yeah, I mean,
when that happens,
you know, I mean, a lot of people argue that that's what kicked off the Great Depression.
Yes,
were the tariffs that came in. Mm-hmm. I'm of the ilk that like we have everything. We have a lot of problems in this country. We have $36 trillion dollars in debt. You know. Like our last great projects that like our grandchildren can point to were in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly.
So it's a mess. And
So what are your ideas for fixing it? Do you have any?
Well, I mean, for me, I believe that we have basically all the resources that we need in the United States from all the raw materials that we have. But we have laws that are preventing us from using them. And so it makes it cheaper to bring it from the outside,
yes.
Just like labor,
right.
You know? And so the capitalists or oligarchs in our society are the ones that benefit from this globalization.
Yes.
And I just think we need to fix what we have inside of our borders, start offering first class education, for everybody. Everybody should be able to feel safe so they can go about their business. We should stop dinking around in other countries and let them figure out their own thing and just like fix our problems. I mean, I have never been to China, but I look at China and their foreign policy and monetary policy is far different than ours.
Yes.
And their towns
but
look
they're
amazing.
They're a communist country.
Well, and let's face it, ironically, we just voted out a man that was trying to implement with the Build Back America Act and
right.
The investment in our infrastructure acts, you know, he
the
had
Chips
put
Act
billions
of
the
stuff.
Chips Act, trillions of dollars into our economy. And unfortunately, much of that has already been dispersed. So it's going to be very difficult for the Trump administration to prevent some of that from happening, like with the Chips Act.
Right.
But it's all oligarchies do what oligarchies do, you know, and they benefit the people that are up at the top. I mean, I was listening. a great example of it is like what just at the inauguration ceremonies, when in the front row, you had four men that represented a quarter of our economy. You know, it just crazy. And the amount of influence that they have in our policies, you know, it's a me only environment right now. And it's unfortunate because it needs to be an us environment. We've got 3 minutes left in the show. We've got one more caller, and I'd like to get their thoughts before we wrap up the show. So what's the name of our caller, sir? I'm not sure who our caller.
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Well, I have only two words because there's no more time. Progressive taxation.
Yes.
Those four men that and more like them were there at the Trump's day. If they pay their not only the fair share. But enough so that the deficit, $36 trillion. Yeah. I think when Bill Clinton was in power, was the president, that he brought down the deficit and not increased it as much. But progressive taxation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
No, those are two words that I don't mind ending a show on. Progressive taxation. I think something that we need to be reminded on.
Where does
the time fly?
Thank you, John.
It was fun.
We start getting into a really good conversation. We next time we need to make this a 2-hour show. Okay, Boo listeners, call in and tell them that you want PDX Progressive Talk Radio to be a 2-hour show on Wednesday. Well,
we still need to work on increasing our time that we are on in a month. Right now we're once a month.
Yeah, so and that does remind me the third
tonight
we're going to be back
it's
on.
It's a rerun from last
week. Hi, I'm David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States. And that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO, Portland. And I wish you had a lot more company.